is money, honey. All we talk is money. All we talk is money. It's like bees to the honey. The Sauce Cast, baby.
Welcome everybody to the show. Welcome everybody to the show. Thank you for the round of applause. It's amazing. I feel great. Thank you for having me. Welcome to the Sauce Cast, the sexiest financial show in the world. This is where finance meets romance. I'm your host, Adam Sauce. You call me Sauce. And as you all know, I'm here to help you guys out there to get paid, laid, and do it your way. If you haven't noticed, usually here there's me, panel of women, some high profile dudes. But we're doing something different. We're testing this thing out over here. We're going back to the old school Sauce Talks Money, Sauce Cast, specifically on Tuesdays. When you know who it is, it's just me and you. Just the two. And Malik. And Malik's here. Guys, get to know Malik, the 6 foot freak. We all know him. It's the ebony to my ivory. We all know what we're doing out here. Malik, my goal is to make you a millionaire as soon as possible. But it's also my goal to help you guys out there become a millionaire as soon as possible. Why? Because when I was 25, you're 26. When I was 25, I was my brokest friend by far. Borrowing money, crashing on couches, getting paid in drink tickets and in laughs when I was doing stand-up comedy and being a club promoter in Miami. I had to make a drastic change in my life. I ended up moving out of Miami because I was getting too wasted, white boy wasted. I had to move up to Boca. I took a job as a cold caller for a financial firm. 17 years later, I'm the VP of sales of a massive hedge fund financial firm. 5 years ago, I said, all right, I made my money. I'm good. I knew PBD from the financial industry. I said, let me get into this content game. Now, co-host PBD Podcast with PBD, Vinny, Tom, the Biz Doc. We had a sick episode with Judge Joe Brown today. If you have not seen that episode, check that out. I think I went from a liberal to a moderate to a full-on conservative January 6th insurrectionist in today's episode. Anyway, I'm not getting political here right now. I'm just saying check out that episode. But it was enlightening and empowering. And it talks about masculinity and being a man and the importance of going from a boy, from a fuck boy to a fuck boy to a fuck man to actually being a man. So shout out to Judge Joe Brown. He's awesome. Don't believe the media narrative on that guy. He's an absolute savage. He's a beast. He was awesome. Malik, you took a picture with him, I believe.
Yeah,
awesome dude, right?
Yeah, he was real awesome.
Sick guy. But thank you guys for being here. This episode, these episodes that we do, we're going to start doing more often. Just me and you, just the two of us, baby. It's all about getting your money right. You know, I say all we talk is money. All we talk is money. You can see, I mean, on all my social handles, Sauce Talks Money. I'm sort of getting back to the basics. I believe that's super, super, super important. We're still going to do the panels. We're still going to have the ladies. We're going to still talk about dating, relationships, masculinity, feminism, modern femininity, everything like that. But you know, I say getting laid, getting paid, doing it your way. The most important thing is making sure you're getting paid. Because if you're not getting paid, you're not going to get laid. You're certainly not going to be able to do things your way. So I think it's very incumbent on you to get your money right. So I'm going back to what I've always done, especially on Tuesdays, and helping you guys save that money. So Malik, you're my sidekick today. I need you, bro.
I got you.
That's my guy. Real quick, a couple housekeeping items before we get started on today's episode. If this is your first time here, welcome to the Sauce Cast. Hit that sub, hit the like. We're happy to have you. And for our longtime fans, listeners, value tamers out there, thank you for being back here. We're getting better. We're improving. We're listening to you guys. It's all about you, okay? I'm good. I told you I've made my money. But this is something I love. I feel super passionate about because I want to help people, okay? I say that when you become chilling with money. Chilling is when you own your time. You can do whatever you want to do. You wake up, do what you want to do. I say there's three things you could do. A lot of people say, I want to travel. Awesome. Who doesn't want to do that? Been there, done that. Been all over the world and back. That's cool. But at some point, you just want to get back home. Number two, you want to work on something that you're passionate about, that you firmly believe in, which this is that for me. But number three, you want to give back and donate your time, which is super important. And that's what I do as well. So being a part of Valuetainment, being part of the PBD Podcast, doing the Sauce Cast, I get to travel, I get to work on what I'm passionate about, and I get to donate my time and give back to people like you out there. So I hope you appreciate that because I appreciate you. Speaking of appreciation, let me give a quick shout out to the team at Manect. If you're not familiar with what we're doing on Manect, if you ever want to get paid for your time, if you're just people saying, hey, you got a minute, hey, you got a million DMs, you don't have time, we've developed an app called Manect where you can reach out to people and consult with them And there's a 100% success rate. They'll answer you. Why? Because you're paying them. So here's a shout out to the Browse featured experts on Manect. Number one, your boy Saz out there. Super proud of that. Obviously, Andrew Tate, absolute beast, absolute savage, striker, top G, the man. He's number two on Manect. And then a guy you may have heard of. He's only the CEO, founder of Valuetainment, the man, Freudian slip right there. PBD, he's in the house. He developed this app with the Manect team. So shout out to Lisa, Nicole, everyone that's doing over everything they're doing over at Manect. Keep scrolling down because I want to show some love to everyone that's on the app real quick. You got me, you got Tate, you got PBD, you got the biz doc, Tom Ellsworth, Tristan Tate, absolute gentleman, amazing guy. Vinny, Sammy the Bull out there. My guy Dustin's out there. Michael Francis, absolute amazing human. Aaron Singerman, Justin Waller, Matt Zapala. The list goes on and on and on and on. Sean Kelly in the house, JBD, Chaz. But if this is your first time hearing about Manect, check that out. That's where you can consult and get advice from major, major experts, business leaders, thought leaders. They're all out there. And let me just give myself a quick shout out because today they just announced I hit my 500th consultation. This is big. That means I've spoken or have consulted with 500 different individuals on the app, which I love doing. Quite frankly, I love doing. I've turned into a full-on business consultant thanks to Manect. And I love connecting with the people on Manect. It could be as simple as, hey man, I want to get my money right. Hey man, I'm going through a situation with my girlfriend, my wife. What advice do you have? Hey, I'm having an issue with my partner. Hey, I'm looking for purpose in my life, meaning in my life. Whatever it is, I've been there, I've done that. I went from a joke to broke to actually making something of myself. And if I can do it, I always say this, if this broke party boy, South Beach, Miami, crashing on people's couches in his 20s can turn into a millionaire by the time he's 35, believe me, you can do it too. I'm not special, okay? I'm not special. But what I did do was create my own luck, create my own success, and fucking work, okay? You know how they say work smart, not hard? It's actually both. Be super smart, be effective, be straightforward with what you want to do, and then work your tail off. And that's what I did. And now I'm running that back and working that on Valuetainment. So happy to be here. So shout out to the Manect team. Shout out to you guys watching. Now let's start the show. So here are some of the topics that we're going to be discussing today. Miss Universe, the gorgeous, the sexy, the feminine, or so we thought, Miss Universe is now officially broke. We'll talk about that. They have filed for bankruptcy. We'll discuss why they've gotten into those types of issues and what you can learn from Miss Universe going broke. Speaking of broke, America, the beautiful, loves debt. We'll talk about that, our fascination and our obsession with consumerism, materialism, spending, overspending, and not saving that money. So we'll talk about that. The number one thing that's keeping you broke and driving you to the poorhouse. A little pun, play on words right there. Stay tuned for that because it's not looking good if you're driving around out there. Logan Paul, got to give a shout out to Logan Paul. This guy just announced something, just did something that I think is actually a major move for him. He eliminated something in his life to add something else to his life. So what you can learn from Logan Paul. And last but not least, are some people lucky? Are they born lucky? Do you create your own luck? Does it come down to hard work? Does it come down to talent? What does it come down to? So we'll discuss that all in the end. Before we get started, Malik, anything you want to add? Anything the chat's saying? Good, bad, negative, positive, all that fun stuff. And then we'll start the episode. What you got?
Yeah, make sure you keep your ears wide open again. Once again, anytime Adam speaks, he's talking money. You might want to tune in. You might learn a thing or two. And get those super chats going too. We got to keep the lights on here.
That's right. We got to keep the lights on. Thank you. You know, Nat will be back on Thursday for the female panel. She'll be there for that. But Malik, you're doing a great job. And I'm happy to have you here as my sidekick on today's show, on Tuesday's show, because I was you. I was 25, 26, just kind of getting started, not sure where I'm at. College athlete, you ran track. You were an athlete. I played football. And at some point, I mean, I think I party a little bit more than you are. You work hard. You grind. I see what you do. But I understand. And I think most of the people in the audience are in their 20s and 30s. And I really want to help. So Take notes. There's a lot to learn today, especially when we're talking money on Tuesdays, all right? Get your super chats in. Let's get this party started. Subscribe to the channel. Thank you for being here. Now let's have some fun. We're going to go rapid pace today here on the Saucecast. All we talk is money. So, Miss Universe. If you're familiar with this global brand, let's show an image of that. Miss Universe has now officially filed for bankruptcy days before the pageant. The pageant, I believe, is happening this week in El Salvador. I was actually invited to go. Who declines going to Miss Universe? This guy, busy, got things going on. Maybe I'll make it this weekend. You never know. But a lot going on there. So Miss Universe has officially filed for bankruptcy. The owner, JKN Global, has filed for bankruptcy days before the pageant. They cited wanted to put together a quote-unquote top-notch experience. We'll discuss what a top-notch experience looks like and somehow why that is can potentially be their downfall. So here's the story. The media company bought Miss Universe for $20 million a year ago in 2022. They raised money in bonds. If you're not familiar with bonds or corporate bonds, that's basically debt, corporate debt, or an IOU. If you ever owed anybody money and they're going to pay you back some more, that is essentially a bond as opposed to a stock, which is investing in a company, shares in a company, so in the hopes that a company will grow. So they took out money in bonds, $20 million, a year ago. Last month, they missed a $12 million loan repayment. They submitted a petition for business rehabilitation, aka business rehab. Not a good look, JKN, Miss Universe. But stay tuned, because there's a lesson here, ladies and gentlemen. They cited market conditions, higher interest rates, and higher inflation. They're saying that it made it difficult for the firm to roll over their debt. JKN says that it plans to restructure the debt and extend the repayment period to overcome a liquidity problem. All right, JKN. For those of you that have dealt with debt or bankruptcy issues, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going out of business. It's just a tool to shed debt by corporations that you can no longer afford those debt payments. So let's show up some images of what's going on, Miss Universe. You know, this is the sexiest financial show in the world. So let's get some ladies involved here. Let's show some images of some of the beautiful women that are going to be in El Salvador esta semana, this weekend, participating. I believe there's not her. Hold on, Malik. That ain't her. Go back to the first image. There's 90 contestants from around the world, and the winner will take home $250,000. There we go. There we go. Some of the lovely ladies that will be competing in the pageant. Now you can go to the other picture. So of these 90 ladies, there's actually two trans women that are going to be competing in the Miss Universe pageant, okay? So 88 have vaginas, two, they got the sausage. Not what I'm looking for. Show an image of that lady, okay? She, I believe, was Miss Thailand. Miss Thailand, she won that in 2022. She'll be competing in Miss Universe. That is a man, not exactly what I'm looking for, but no disrespect. Let's see if that, if she wins this thing. If she wins Miss Universe, we got a bigger problem than we may think. So the winner's going to go home with $250,000. They were emphatic that trans women are women. This Miss Universe has completely gone woke. Listen, I got no problem with that. I just, you know, I'm rooting for the real women with vagines. So here's what I know. The winner will walk away with multiple six figures and the potential for a six-incher as well. Not a good look for the Miss Universe brand. Here's what we do know, further proof, all right, Malik, that if you spend all your money on the honeys for a top-notch experience, you will go broke. So revisiting the title of what happened with Miss Universe, they spent $20 million in 2022. They raised that. Now they officially filed for bankruptcy because they were emphatic that they wanted to provide a top-notch experience. So we'll see how it works out. But further proof, spending all your money on the honeys, you will go broke, whether they have a penis or not. Not the best look. So it got me thinking, you know, I've been in situations where I spent some money on the ladies, Malik. I think we did a conversation last week about guys spending money to impress women. What was your insight on that? You said some guys basically reacted to a poll. Do you remember that?
Yeah, basically I was asking you all these questions because like there are guys, especially around my age, they tend to spend all their money on women, like without even having to save it or anything like that. And they spend it on like, they simp for women. They don't even spend it to like, spend it on women that like them. They spend it on women that use them.
Yeah. It's a problem. Look, I'm not that guy that's like, hey, don't pay attention to women. You'll lose all your focus. Stay away from the women. Hell to the no. Love the women. Love the women. Love the women. But I also think it's important to not fall in love with your eyes because these girls look good. Like as Dave Chappelle said, good. And I'm not talking about just the kind of good, like the classic beauty. I'm talking about like they got the titties popping out of a turtleneck. You know, they got... Daisy Dukes or mini skirts coming up to their ass. These women are out there, and it's hard to look away. But you should not be spending all your money on women. It reminds me of a story. Dennis Rodman, remember that guy? I think I have a story on him. Dennis Rodman was one of the greatest NBA defenders of all time. He is one of the few NBA all-stars who has basically crossed over to being an international icon, international celebrity. He played for the Pistons, Bad Boy, Chicago Bulls. He won championships. He was the bad boy on the Bulls with Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan sort of rehabilitated his career. But as he got bigger and bigger and bigger, wildness and mayhem followed this guy. So I remember in the summer of 1998, just after the Bulls had won their sixth championship, Michael Jordan soon retired, and then he came out of retirement. We all know that story. But Rodman was on top of the world. Rebounder, defender, all-star, all that. He actually married one of the loveliest women on the planet at that time. Her name was what? Carmen Electra. Do we have a picture of them, by the way? Dennis Rodman, Carmen Electra. But here's where that story went wrong, okay? And where this kind of brings into hot women, pretty women, spending your money on women, overspending on women. Thanks for that. So Dennis Rodman marries this woman. They had a wild night in Vegas. Dennis Rodman and his then girlfriend, Carmen Electra, decide to get married. To celebrate, he took her on a shopping spree. He didn't really realize what he was getting himself into, but I have some information for the gentleman out there. Now, you might not be Dennis Rodman, but we've all been there. So Dennis Rodman basically had a panic attack when he took Carmen Electra on a $250,000 shopping spree in 1998. By today's standards, that's at least 350 grand, maybe even closer to $500,000 in today's standards with inflation. Thanks, Bidenomics. So he takes Carmen on this $250,000 shopping spree in Vegas, all on his dime, just after he won another NBA championship. So they get to the checkout and he realizes, holy shit, she's got a lot of stuff. As they start ringing stuff up, jewelry, bags, clothes, items, bing, bing, ding, bing, his hands start shaking, he starts having convulsions, he starts hyperventilating and has a panic attack. So he ended up spending $250,000 in only a few short hours. Speaking of a few short hours, their marriage is actually very short-lived, but it took a toll on Rodman's finances. He made $27 million in his career. Talk about a lesson in saving that money. He is now only worth, am I reading this correctly? Less than $500,000. Dennis frickin' Rodman, all-star celebrity, spent all his money on Carmen Electra. Get it together, Dennis. I'm gonna pour one out for the homies real quick. All right. We're spending all that money on the women. So what do we learn here, gentlemen? Whether it's Miss Universe going bankrupt, whether it's Dennis Rodman going on a shopping spree, the hotter the woman, the more you're going to have to spend, okay? I think it's so important to understand that for a man, so easy to fall in love with your eyes, but don't do it, okay? Because there's so many hot women out there, but the most important thing is having a woman who is of strong character, good values, understands femininity, understands loyalty, is there for you, is not looking to spend all your money, is not looking to use you, not trying to use you as a sugar daddy, azúcar de papi. Is that how you say that? Thanks, Humberto. Sugar de papi, yeah? Sugar daddy, not a good look for you. So here's the bottom line. I've been there, okay? I remember when I first started making money, I told a story about how I dropped my ATM receipt. Oh my God, I made 20 grand for the first time in my life. Wanted to look cool in front of my girl. What'd she do that day? She wasn't like, I'm proud of you. She said, take me shopping. I'm an idiot. First time I had money, took her shopping. Now I only spent a grand or two, but I simped. And this was my girlfriend, much less, you know, trying to impress a girl who doesn't want to fucking even give you the time of day. But we all know those girls out there who are basically have you in their phone as free meal. What would you say the other day about girls having people in their phone?
Oh, yeah. Your name and the contact is like food money.
Food money. Imagine you, good dude, trying to be solid, good man, making his money, out there, trying to meet a woman, and you're saved in her phone as food money or shopping dude or azúcar de papi sugar daddy. Not a good look for you, gentlemen. I'm not saying all women are like this, but unfortunately, a lot of them are. So I've been in situations, you know, what does Lil Wayne say out there? He's like, why give a girl your heart when all she wants is a purse? Some girls just want a mother and purse, okay? And some guys, all they want is that. Huh. So I've spent money on purses. I've spent money on vacations. I've spent money on cars for women. I've been there. I've done that. Learn from my mistakes. Now, will I go out and take a girl to a dinner? Sure. But I'm very cautious and very prudent with my money. I told a story a month ago where a girl I was seeing, she needed some new clothes. I said, I'm going to a gala. Go get yourself an outfit. I said, how much? Gentlemen, watch this. Don't say, you know, hey, how much money do you want? Just say, how much money do you think you're going to need for a new outfit? The girl told me $300. I go, it's the trust thing. You might call me a simp, but this is a lesson learned. I said, here's my credit card. Go ahead, spend $300, and I'd love to see you in this outfit. Girl came back. Great girl, but she broke my trust. She came back. I said, all right, let's see the outfit. She came back with a bag of clothes, okay? Bag of clothes. She spent $1,000 on this outfit. I said, what happened to that $300 budget? She goes, well, you know, there was some items and the thing was going on. I said, great. Listen, I can afford $1,000 at a phase of my life. There was a time in my life where I couldn't. But I just learned a lesson, and you just lost my trust. So, do I take a girl like that seriously? We'll see. I'm not judging her by that only. But I think it's important to understand that if you dangle money in front of women, a lot of times they'll take you up on that offer and then some. So, I told another story about a girl that I was at with Club 11. Shout out to Club 11 in Miami, if you've ever been there. Awesome. I was with a group of guys, group of girls one night, and Travis Scott was performing at 11. Rick Ross has performed. I've seen him perform, seen Sway Lee, seen a whole bunch of guys there. 11 is an amazing place. You know, some people call it a strip club. Some people call it a nightclub. Some people call it sort of the best of both worlds. But the girls I was with were like, we want to go see Travis. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, this is going to cost a pretty penny if we want to get a table. I'm not trying to do that. No, been there, done that. Me, personally, I've partied enough for 10 lifetimes. I'm not spending money like that at clubs. But I happen to know owners. I happen to know managers. Let me make a call. So I text the manager. I said, hey, man, I'm with 8 people. We're a block or two away. Is it cool if we come by? He's like, Saz, tonight ain't that night, bro. Travis Scott, top of the world, like... I go, look, dude, I haven't asked you for a favor in forever. Can you get us in? We'll slide in. I have a friend who's got an area. We'll just hang there. He goes, I got you. We get there. The girl, we walk right in. Red carpet. Amazing. Again, be very cautious with your favors. I use this favor once in a blue moon. We walk right in. We're good. Shout out to the guys at 11. But we walk in. The girls are ecstatic. Ecstatic. Thank you so much. They were charging $500 just to walk in the door. For guys and girls. So that's 8 times 500. That's 4 grand just to walk in the fucking door. We paid zero. Awesome. Tables are going for minimum 10 grand that night. I'm talking like, this is like holiday season, Miami, 11. This is money on money on money. Talk about make it rain on make it rain. We got them for free. Now, again, some women are awesome. Some women are amazing. But some... they just got their, you know, their mind on the money and the money on their mind. These girls, for like 5 minutes were just so appreciative. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. Thank you. About an hour later, one of the girls I was with says, hey, let's go spend money on some of the girls. I go, no, I'm good. She goes, come on, like take out $1,000. This is interesting. I said, I'm good on that. She said, come on, like you've got money. Like just let's go have some fun, right? This is where guys fall into a trap. Strip club, Travis Scott, girls, rain, awesome, hot chicks. Pretty good offer. Let's take $1,000, me, you, and some girls go in the back. Let's go have some fun. I said, seen this movie before. I said, how about I make you a deal? I'll take out 500, you take out 500, and let's both have some fun. What do you think she said?
No,
why do I have to spend money? It's like, I just got you and all your friends in. Saved basically $4,000. We got him for free. You would have not been here right now. And now you're trying to hit me up for a G so you can have some fun. So I didn't say no. I didn't want to look like an asshole. But I did say, you take out 500. I'll take out 500. Let's go have a good time. No, I don't really want to spend that money. Thought so. Gotcha, bitch. So understand that women will test you. They'll test you. They were so appreciative. They were so thankful that we got them in the club. But that wasn't enough for them. They want you to go to that ATM and pull out $1,000. So you have to put it right back on them. By the way, you might think that the girl just, fuck you, you're an asshole. No. We left the club together, if you know what I mean, Malik. Things are good. But did I ever hang out with her again? Nope. Leech, social climber, you know, hot. Again, hot, Malik. But not the type of girl that you want to roll with, not the type of girl that you want to wife up. So what's the bottom line here? Lessons. Lessons are being learned. Miss Universe, these guys invested. They thought it'd be a great investment. They're broke. They're bankrupt. Not a good look for the company. Dennis Rodman made $27 million in his career. No bueno. He spent all his money on Carmen Electra. But that mindset, it wasn't just the $250. It was that mindset of careless spending, reckless spending, living for the day, not having accountability, not basically holding frame, as they say in the manosphere, and now he's broke. Not a good look for you. I, too, have felt victim to this in the past for women, vacations, purses, travel, cars. I've been there. I've done that. But now you have to learn your lessons. You're in your lessons of the past. What do they say the definition of crazy is? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. So to my friends at Miss Universe, best of luck out there. I hope a woman actually wins the pageant like a real woman. Best of luck to Dennis Rodman out there. Hope you basically rebound and get your money right. And to you guys out there, be very careful around these beautiful, amazing, hot women because they will take you for all you're worth. You'll end up like the JKN at Miss Universe pageant. You'll end up like Dennis Rodman, but not like your boy Saz, because I'm all about saving that money these days. So shout out to those guys. Moving right along, Malik. Just talked about saving money. We just talked about being smart with your money. But you know who's not smart with their money? You know who's not saving that money? America. America, the beautiful. I love this country. I love this country so much. They made me a millionaire. I spent a whole episode last week about how much I love America. But America, we got a spending problem. We all know that federal debt is, what, $30 trillion at this point? Might even be wrong. Probably just accumulate another $1 trillion today. Whatever the number is, it's absurd. But that's just government debt. What about you? What about average Americans out there and our love for debt? So part of the great thing about America, capitalism. I believe capitalism is the greatest thing in human history when it comes to economic prowess, no doubt. Look at these socialist countries. Look at these countries that basically have no economic freedom. Venezuela, to be exact. Shout out to my Venezuelans. I see them down in Miami. I see people who are doctors, lawyers, attorneys, CPAs. Now they're driving Uber around Miami in the calles. Not a good look. Thanks, socialism. Thanks, Hugo Chavez. Thanks, Maduro. Not a good look. Socialism. So I love capitalism, but this isn't a knock on capitalism. But part of the problem with capitalism is it's all about spending, consumerism, and materialism. That's what it is. So it's not your job to stimulate the American economy. The American economy is going to be just fine. So some people, I have these conversations, they're like, well, if I don't spend money, how's the economy going to be stimulated? I said, really, Bill? This is your job to stimulate the economy? Save that money, mother sucker. So here's some of the numbers that's going on here in America, all right? Total household debt, total, $17 trillion. Now, without mortgages, because we're going to get into mortgages in a second, the average American owes $22,000 in debt. Now, if you include mortgages, the average American owes just a notch over $100,000. $100,000. Shout out to Dr. Evil right there. So we're drowning in debt. And we think it's a good thing. And one of the things I think is laughable is like, yeah, I took out debt, but it's good debt. You know, it's good kind of debt. All right. You know, there's good debt. There's bad debt. There's even worse debt. Then there's like the worst of the worst of the worst debt. Payday loans, consumer loans, 400%. But even the good debt, you know, mortgages, they were 3%. Now they're closer to 7%, 8%. It's still debt. Okay. That's like getting your ass kicked and be like, yeah, I only have one black eye, bro. It's like, I don't have any broken bones. It's like, still got a black eye, homie. It's still debt. It's debt is your money going backwards, all right? Depreciation. So here's some of the stats on debt that's going out there in America today by age specifically. So Gen Z, can we pull up this article real quick? So Gen Z, they have an average of $25,000. Gen Z is basically 25 and under. Are you Gen Z or are you a millennial?
I'm right in the middle.
What year were you born?
To be honest, 96.
Now, you're right there, bro. Pick one.
I'm gonna be Gen Z.
You fucked up though. Just kidding. You're good. Pick one. I'm a Zennial. You know what that is?
I'm the
youngest Gen X, and I'm the oldest Millennial. You know what generation I picked?
Gen Z, Generation X.
Millennials. Millennial, bro. The girls I'm hanging out with, they ain't Gen Xers. I can promise you that.
You're trying to seem younger.
Okay, Millennials.
You're trying to feel younger then, huh?
Trying to look younger. There it is. Trying to hang out with the youngins, as they say. So Gen Z, here's where it gets interesting, guys. Here's where it gets interesting. Gen Z, they just graduated college, or maybe they didn't go to college. They got student loan debt. Maybe they're getting their first credit card. They got some credit card debt. The average of 25K, boom, bingo. Here's where the millennials fucked up. Millennials, $116,000. Show that stat real quick. $116,000 on average. Then you got Gen Xers, who are basically like the 45 plus community. They're out there, 42 plus to be exact. They owe about $155,000 in debt. Then you have the boomers, who have basically probably sold their house at this point if they got out at the top of the market. They owe about 96 grand in debt. And the silent generation, all our grandparents out there, about $39,000 in debt. Why? Because they probably paid it off. They probably sold their house, or probably took them 70 years to get out of debt. That's sort of the problem with debt. It's you're drowning, you're going the wrong way. It's your money going backwards. Now, here's the things that might get a little interesting. You know, the whole male-female dynamic. Thanks for that. Who do you think has more debt, Malik? Ready? Men or women?
I'm say men.
You would be, ding, 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 correct. Men. More debt in the male category. So here, pull this stat up real quick. Women on average in America owe about $85,000 total debt if you go to the bottom, whereas men owe about $104,000. I'm rounding up to the nearest decimal. So men have more debt in every single category except for one, which is student loans. You know, these girls, these females, they want to get educated. They want to be independent. They want to make their own money, but they're spending it on college. But at credit cards, go back to that real quick so I can read this. Credit cards, just about even. Men owe about $100 more. Student loan balance, women are winning by about a grand. Auto loan balance, men are winning by about $3,000. And when I mean winning, I mean losing. So they owe about $3,000 more. Personal loan debt, men also losing by about $3,000. HELOCs, which is basically part of your mortgage, a home equity line of credit, if you're familiar with mortgages, HELOCs. Men owe about $5,000 more, 47 to 42. Mortgage balances, men are about $20,000 more in debt than women. Total balance, like I said at the beginning, men owe $104,000 and women owe $85,000. But you know that the men got to spend on nicer cars, spending money on dinners. They're the ones buying rings. They're the ones paying for the trips a lot of the time. Often that women will move in with the man. I very seldomly see men moving in with women. That's based on my experience. But men are spending money on everything from cars to credit cards to student loans to HELOCs to mortgages, of course, oftentimes to impress the women. We just talked about that in the previous segment about Miss Universe going broke. Dennis Rodman went broke. And if you don't do things the right way, your ass might end up broke. So what to do if you have all this debt. So traditionally, there's basically two options. Level with me, guys, for a second. There's one of two options, so follow along if you want to understand how to pay off debt. So number one, write it down. Write down all your debts and list them in order. All right, I got student loans, I got credit card, I got auto loans. Write it all down from the highest debt to the lowest debt. Or you can do the lowest debt to the highest debt, whatever it is. But here's the most important thing. After you write it down, put the interest rate right next to it. Boom. Student loans, 6%. Auto loans, 9%. Credit card, 21%. Mortgage, 7%. Whatever it is, put the debt. Write down the debt. Write down the amount of the debt and write down the interest on the debt. I remember having a conversation with a buddy of mine who played college basketball one day. He was trying to make it to the league, never made it, but shout out to my guy. We're sitting around with some NBA buddies of mine. We're talking to my friend here. I said, how much you owe on credit cards? He goes, like $2,000, not a big deal. I go, all right, that's not a big deal. How much do you owe on the debt? He goes, dude, I have no clue. Like, I have no clue what the interest rate is. I said, pull up your Chase account right now. He goes, all right, cool. He logged onto the app, bingo, bingo, bingo. He goes, 24%, is that good or is that bad? I said, is that good or is that bad? I said, that's horrible. It's not a good look for you. I said, what's a good number that you should strive to make if you're going to actually try to invest and make money? He goes, I got no clue. I said, well, if you're going to play the S&P game and do an index fund, 10% is a good year-over-year return, right? A lot of people got fooled by crypto and Bitcoin and ups and downs, but 10% is a pretty good rate of return. You're going almost more than double backwards in your credit card bill. He smartened up, he wisened up, he basically paid off the credit card bill in a few months, and he realized, holy shit, I just got a very cheap lesson on getting out of debt. So number one, write it down. Got it. Number two, pick a path. What are the two paths? There's the snowball and there's the avalanche. What are the two different things? Snowball is basically as you envision a snowball going from smaller to a little bit bigger to a little bit bigger to even bigger to the biggest. You pay down the smallest debt first. Let's say that's a credit card bill for $2,000, my buddy's example. Boom, bang that out, get that out of the way. Then you go to your car. Let's say you owe 10 grand. Boom, get that out of your way. Then you go to your student loans. Let's say you owe 30 grand. Boom, get that out of your way. You go one by one by one, brick by brick by brick, from smallest to largest. Now, if you say, all right, cool, bro, I get it. You can go from small to big. But, dude, I'm getting crushed over here on my car loan at 15%. And I owe $5,000 on that. But on this other loan over here, my credit card, I actually have a 0% interest rate because I transferred the balance and I'm not paying much, but I only owe $1,000 on that. So in that case, you can do what's called the avalanche, which you basically try to knock off the debt that has the highest interest rate. So you say, I'm getting crushed over here. I'm paying 24% over here, 20% over here, because that's what credit cards are going for these days, basically 20%. You say, let me get out of this just horrible, gluttonous, horrible interest payment that I'm paying on this and go to all that. So you can do one of two things. Number one, write it down, okay? And number two, pick a path. Snowball, which you start with the smallest debt, go to the largest, or the avalanche, which you start with the highest interest rate first and then go from there. Whatever you do, pick a path, start attacking that debt. There's some other things that you can do to basically get out of debt. I don't wanna be bleak, I don't wanna be pessimistic, but this is important. You can negotiate with your creditors, figure out a restructuring of your debt. You can consolidate debt, put it on a credit card where you only pay 0% interest for maybe 12 months. Boom, get the hell out of that. Pay that off as soon as possible if that's still a feasibility. There's credit counseling. It's so bad that you gotta fucking see a counselor to deal with your debt. But whatever you do, you need to address it. What you can't do is do the ostrich approach or do what like Wile E. Coyote used to do and see a train oncoming and just pull down the shades as if the train isn't gonna run over the tracks and run over your house. So the debt's coming, it's piling up, and you gotta figure out a way to get the hell out of debt. Write it down, snowball, avalanche. I don't really give a shit. What I do give a shit about is that you get out of debt so you can save that money. So back to my initial point that, you know, I'll never forget this. I was telling some guy, dude, you gotta get out of debt. You gotta stop spending. You gotta stop overspending. And he literally said, well, if I don't accumulate debt and if people don't accumulate debt, how are we gonna stimulate the economy? I said, really, bro? Really, bro? It's your job to stimulate the economy? The economy is counting on you, Chad, to basically spend more on your credit card? Really? That's what the whole American economy is counting on? You couldn't be further from the truth. You know, I often say, don't worry about what's going on in the White House. We'll worry about what's going on in your house. Facts. Okay? So the quicker that you can develop a budget, have a game plan for your money, get out of debt, stop going backwards with your money, start saving, you can start investing. We talked about last episode, work, earn, save, invest. But if you can't, if you're working and you're earning, but you can't save and you can't invest, what's the fucking point? Okay, let me say that again. If you're working and you're earning, but your money's going backwards and you can't save and you can't invest, you're never going to get ahead. It's kind of like a hole is in your boat and you're trying to fix the hole and pour the water out, but the water keeps leaking on the other side. Not a good look for you, not a good look for your money. So once again, save that money. So debt in America, that's a problem. At this point, I'm going to take a 5-second pause and have a drink of water and just, you know, pour one out for the homies that are drowning in debt, because I want to see you swimming. I don't want you to see you swimming with the sharks, the loan sharks out there. Not a good look for you. Figure out your own situation. I'm going to take a second for you to maybe bust out a pen and paper right now and be like, you know what? This guy, Saz, kind of knows what he's talking about. Maybe he's pissing me off. Maybe he just like ripped a Band-Aid off and talking about debt when I want to see some chicks with some big ass titties. I get that. I want to see that too. Before you can do that, you got to get out of debt. All right, so debt is your money going backwards and you're losing the interest rate game. You want to win the game. You want to win the money game. Capitalism is like Monopoly. You want to win the game. But basically, if you're broke, you're a joke, and you got no money, you ain't going to win the game of capitalism here in the United States of America. Woo! Sorry about that, Malik. You got a little fired up right there. So.
No, I'm fired up too. That was great.
What are we talking about over there, Malik? What is the crowd saying? What do we want to know before I move on to the next subject?
Right now, I currently have a poll. I'm just asking people what's their current debt. I got under 10K, 10K to 20K, 20K to 30K, 30K plus. It's an interesting stat, actually. 61% is under 10K, and then 11% for 10 to 20, 7% for 20 to 30, and then our next largest is the 30K plus.
So okay, read that one more time.
Yeah, so majority of these people that are voting are either under 10K in vote in debt, or they're over 30K in debt. That's not the top two.
Got it. Yeah. We did a poll last time on the age of our audience, right?
Yeah.
Did we capture that?
Yes, we did.
You want to run that back one more time? 18 to 24, 25 to 34, 35 to 45 or 45 plus. I'd love to know where we're at and extrapolate that with the debt. Can we move on?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So we talked about debt. We talked about... Sorry about that. We talked about debt. We talked about the different types of debt that's going on here in America. But there's one particular type of debt that I believe is making Americans broke. There's one type of debt that is basically killing Americans, crushing your wealth, and is basically driving you into the poorhouse. And that, my friends, is your car. So if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the car market and in the auto market, it's not pretty. So buckle up, literally, and enjoy the ride right here, because some of you, this is going to be pretty interesting. So the cost of new cars have surged over 36%, 36% in the last 3 years since COVID. Here's some fun facts. Monthly payments for new car loans have increased from $562 a month in 2019 to, drum roll please, $750 a month in today's climate. So they went from 562 in 2019, and in 3 to 4 short years, it is now $750 today for the same car, nonetheless. Maybe it's a newer model. Pretty much the same shit, okay? The average price of a new car hit a record $47,000 this year, with a whopping, drumroll please, 9.5% interest rate on new cars. On average, it requires 42 weeks of income to pay off a new car. That's up from 33 weeks, which was pre-COVID. So it takes you basically almost a full year of income to pay off a car, which is up again from 33 weeks pre-COVID. So here's a little fun fact. Pre-COVID, there were 12 vehicles that cost under 20 grand a month. Sorry, 20 grand a year. So let me say that again. Fun fact, prior to COVID, there were 12 cars that cost $20,000 or less. Today's market, today's climate, today's situation, one car in the marketplace, new car, is under $20,000. What is that car? It's a Mitsubishi Mirage. I don't know if you have a picture of a Mirage you can find real quick, but there's a new campaign for the Mitsubishi Mirage, and it's basically this. Good luck getting laid with that Mirage in your garage. Not exactly a panty dropper type of vehicle out there. There she blows out there, the Mitsubishi Mirage. Ooh, wee. That is the only car in the marketplace that is currently under $20,000. Save that money, ladies and gentlemen, unless you want to be driving around with that Mitsubishi Mirage in your garage. So you said, all right, so as I got it, new car is kind of out of control. Why buy a new car? I can just buy a used car. Well, pump the brakes, buckle up right here, because used cars have also risen exponentially. Used cars have risen 30%, and they've reached an all-time high this year of $31,000. Imagine going to get a Mitsubishi Mirage and having to pay $31,000 for that used Mitsubishi Mirage in your garage. By the way, you'll also be paying 14% interest rate for that hunk of shit that you're driving around. No offense. I'm sorry, guys. But it's actually pretty serious stuff. Why? Because auto loan delinquency rates are at their highest levels since 2006. Now, what happened in 2006, 2007? What happened? My memory is not what it used to be. Maybe it was all the weed I was smoking in college. I don't do that these days. But what happened right around 2007, Malik? Do you remember what happened?
Market crash?
Yeah. It was called the Great Recession. And the economy went into shambles. So if there's a sign that your car is driving you to the poorhouse, the last time auto loan delinquency rates were this high was right before the Great Recession. Save that money. Now, I get it. You might be saying to yourself, who is this freaking guy telling me I shouldn't have a car, shouldn't be buying new cars, shouldn't be driving cars? Who is this guy? Here's who this guy is. I always wanted a Mercedes-Benz. Okay, that's what I, the kind of car I always wanted. I never drove a nice car. In high school, I drove the biggest piece of shit. It was a used Honda Accord, color of rust. Wasn't a good look. It was my mom's old car. She got in a car accident. She got a new car. Lucky me, I got her old Honda Accord, color of rust, with a huge dent in the side of it. And I drove that to the literal nicest private school in Miami. Not a good look for me. Talk about confidence killer. New in school, was a public school kid all my life, and ended up at this elite private school on a basketball, football scholarship, sports scholarship. So there I am. Talk about struggling your first year. I'm driving this hunk of shit into school. Not a good look. But again, this is what makes character. By my senior year, I was a captain of the football team. I'm there at homecoming on the court doing my thing, because competence leads to confidence. So there I was driving my hunk of shit, still doing my thing. So there I was, didn't have a good car. In college, I didn't have a great car. It was a used Mazda, not a good look. I was a food delivery guy. I said, all right, this isn't a good look for me. By the time that I ended up graduating college, I got not a Mitsubishi Mirage, but the one up from that, a Mitsubishi Galant, wasn't exactly the good look right there. My hubcaps are falling off. So that's my car situation. Never had a good car in my life. Finally, when I'm 26, 27, I finally started to make some money when I got out of the party scene, and I got a job in the financial firm as a cold caller. And finally, right before the Great Recession, made 100 grand first time in my life. I said, hell yeah, I'm going to save that money, but I also want a new car. I want a great car. So I bought a used Mercedes-Benz. Okay, I actually bought it off a friend. It had 100,000 miles on it, but it was a sick ass car, black Mercedes-Benz C-Class. I thought I was the coolest kid in the world. Always wanted this Mercedes. What happens 2 years later? The engine went out. I actually asked my buddy, I said, how long is this car gonna last? He goes, I'll probably give it about 2 years. It's almost like 2 years to the day, car falls out of balance, engine goes out, boom. All right, that year, about 2011 at this point, one of my best friends was currently engaged to the one and only Kim Kardashian. We've heard that story. I don't need to relitigate that. But I basically took a year out of my life, and I was keeping up with the Kardashians, living in L.A., basically at Kim's house. I'm in Mexico. I'm on planes. I'm in Vegas, living the Kardashian lifestyle. And I said, let me see how long I can go without getting a new car, right? How long has it gone? It's 2011 when I my car engine collapsed. It is now 2023. I'm now approaching 12 years without a car. All right, you might be saying, how'd you do it? Well, I live in downtown Miami. Uber's a thing these days. I was Ubering around everywhere. By the way, I own a bar in Miami. If I'm gonna be out there having fun, I ain't trying to catch a DUI. So I basically, the average cost of a car costs the average American $10,000 a year, all in. That's car payment, that's insurance, that's gas, that's parking, that's tax, that's tag, that's title, that's valet, that's highways, that's tolls, that's everything that is, that's street parking, everything that comes with that, that's oil changes, lubes, tire rotations, all that fun stuff I'm sure you love doing on your weekends, fixing your car, right? And that's if everything goes according to plan. God forbid you get into an accident or a DUI like I'm looking to avoid. It's a recipe for disaster. So you might be saying, all right, bro, like you're just completely out of touch with reality. How the hell are you supposed to operate without a car? How the hell are you operating with a car at these price points? $750 bucks a month at 9.5% interest rate for a new car? Or if you want to get that Mitsubishi Mirage in your garage, that's the only car under 20 grand. Or if you want to pay for a used car, it's reached all-time highs of 31,000. You're paying 14%. Explain to me how this car situation is working out for you. Most people I know, I always say this all the time, most people are most people, and most people are broke. We hear this all the time. The stat changes year to year. Two-thirds of Americans are paycheck to paycheck. I wonder how much of that money is going to your car payment. So if this were a speech I was giving in the 80s or 90s, I would absolutely be a quack. I'd be a lunatic. I would make no sense. People got to get from place to place. But times have changed. By the way, fun fact, if you ever want to get in the door, if you're a salesperson, ever, you're trying to tell someone new, you're trying to tell a prospect something new, you say these three words. Things have changed. Things have changed. I say, well, what's changed? Well, let me talk to you about that. Boom, that just opened it up. But things have changed in the economy right now, the sharing economy, the hustle economy, the side gig economy. Things are completely different, and the old school way of thinking in today's economy will leave your ass broke as a joke. So what's changed? You got Uber, you got Lyft, okay? You got ride shares, you can take the train, you can take subways, you can take bikes, you can walk your fat ass to work if you live close to work. You can carpool. Or you know how they say the famous YouTube clip? Two girls, one cup. How about two humans, one car? I know some married couples that basically sold off one of their cars. They share one car and they have one car for the family. It works. You have to do things differently these days, especially if you're the paycheck to paycheck community. Or just keep doing what you're doing and say, bro, I'm making $500,000 a year. I drive whatever the hell I want to drive and I'm good to go. But I would suspect that most of you are looking for a solution to get your money right. So it might be just there staring you in the face and it might be your vehicle. So what I was able to do, right? I was working from home before it was cool, before it was COVID. So I was working from home, downtown Miami, didn't get a car. I was saving 10 grand a month. I was pumping that right into savings, right into my 401k, right into a Roth IRA, right into my index funds, right into my investments. And I was pumping basically 10 grand a year minimum into those accounts. And I look at my accounts now and it's like, holy shit, I've got how much money saved up? How many million? But it starts with that way of thinking. So you might be looking at yourself and say, bro, I just can't. I need this car. It's what I do to get by. I have to have a car. I will live far from work. I get it. But this type of thinking is what you need to do to basically save that money. So there's three, everyone has their same big three expenses in their life: your housing, your transportation, or your food and beverage. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, you need to figure out a way to eliminate one of those big three expenses or basically reduce them. Cool, you can eliminate your Netflix subscription, you save 15 bucks a month. Great, that's not gonna move the needle. But what happens if you eliminate a $750 car payment a month? Okay, almost 10 grand a year that you're saving. I don't know, those are drastic changes. So I would start with those big three things. And then, yeah, get cute, eliminate a subscription here. Maybe, you know, you take your lunch to work. That's all cute. But your housing, your transportation, and your food and beverage, your F&B, you have to eat every single day. How much you're spending on that? Something to take account of. So I know there's some people out there that are going to be like, yo, bro, you are absolutely out of your mind. I need a car. right? That's one community. Then there's going to be another community that's like, you know what? This guy's kind of got a point. Like, cars costing me a lot of money. Gas is crazy. My insurance is insane. My payments are out of control. Interest rate's crazy. You know, I'm really going to think about this. I'm really going to think about this. Makes a lot of sense. And then there's the community that's like, yeah, bro, been there, done that. I've already realized that I've been driving myself to the poorhouse. I had to figure out a solution, so I Uber to work every single day. By the way, do you know what percentage of time a car sits there being unused? 95% of the time, 23 out of 24 hours, you're not driving your car. So if you're the type of person that literally wakes up in the morning, drives their car to work, less than 5-10 miles especially, sits there all day, leaves, and then just drives home, and your car just sits there while you're sleeping and while you're working, and you're basically driving less than an hour a day, this might be the plan for you. Save that money, ladies and gentlemen. So that's the car situation going on in America. Let's transition a little bit. Not the type of tranny situation that's going on at Miss Universe, but let's transition. Let's talk about a little bit about pop culture. So there's a guy called Logan Paul. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah, of course. He's from Ohio.
He's what?
He's from Ohio, my home state.
That's right. Ohio. Ohio's finest. By the way, I'm all about Michigan, bro. Go
Blue.
You
can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah. By the way, next week, Michigan plays Ohio State. It's a big game. We'll run this clip. You want to bet?
Let's do it.
Let's want to bet.
What you want to do?
What you want to do?
All right. Dang, I can't think of nothing.
You want to do lunch?
Yeah, let's do lunch.
But a nice lunch.
Yeah.
$20 lunch.
Deal.
You know, I'll bet you more.
Deal. I'm with that.
Okay, lunch. You're taking Ohio State. I'm taking Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's like literally number one and number two.
Yeah, but they don't have a coach anymore because he cheats. But
hey, don't worry about Harbaugh, all right, bro?
It's not a sports show right now.
Okay, not a sports show. Anyway, we got a bet. Anyway, let's start the clip like with this. So there's a guy called Logan Paul. Absolute talented individual. Some people love him, some people hate him, but that's okay. You don't want some haters in your comment section. Believe me, I know. I see you guys. Respect. But you want some love, you want some hate, you want all the above, because the bigger you get, the more haters are going to come out of the woodworks. You know, they say, if you ain't got haters, you ain't doing it right. But the Paul brothers definitely got some haters, but they got some fans too. But this guy, Logan Paul, made a drastic decision in his life that I think is going to make this guy a billionaire. Mark my words. Here we go. So Logan Paul is 28 years old, okay? He's worth currently $75 million. He announces his official retirement from boxing to specifically focus on becoming a WWE star. You know how they say FTM, follow the money? Bro, Logan, I'm following the money. I see what you do. Now you might be saying, what do I give a shit about Logan Paul? You're gonna learn a lesson here, ladies and gentlemen, of what you can do to follow the money and carve your niche in this world. So stay with me on this. So Logan Paul first stepped in the ring, I believe in 2018. He fought his buddy, now his partner in prime, KSI. I believe there was a draw, maybe he won, maybe he lost. I don't really give a shit. But he fought KSI, they were enemies, they were rivals, now they're buddies, now they're business partners. He went on from that to fight, impressively so, Floyd Mayweather, arguably the greatest boxer of all time, pound for pound, no doubt, right? And then we saw him just basically dismantle that shit-talking joke that is now known as Dylan Danis. I think he literally ended his career and retired. But here's some words from Logan Paul. He says, I think I'm retiring from boxing. Yep, I'm done. There's no more money in boxing. Every company is going broke. So he's focusing now not on boxing. That's Jake Paul's situation. He is focusing on WWE. And I believe this very recently, a couple weeks ago, last week, I don't know what it is. I don't follow this. But he defeated the WWE icon Rey Mysterio to win the U.S. Championship, WWE. He said, quote unquote, I have to defend this belt. There are going to be people coming after me. Seth Rollins, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes. By the way, I don't know any of these people. All I know is Logan Paul. He says, whoever wants it, they can come get it. Mr. Bad Bunny, whoever wants it, they can come get it. I have stuff to do in the WWE. So why do I bring this up? Why does Logan Paul basically retire from boxing and focusing on the WWE? What does this have to do with you? Well, a lot. That actually makes sense, because I believe that a lot of people out there are super talented. I believe a lot of people out there, despite being talented, have shiny object syndrome. If you're not familiar with this, you're working on this, and then you think this is cool over here. And hey, what's that all about? All right, oh, what's going on over here? All right, and you don't stay focused. Last week, we covered Einstein's law of focus and what Warren Buffett had to say about that. And write down the 25 things that you're working on and eliminate number 6 through 25 and specifically focus on 1 through 5. So if it's good enough for Warren Buffett, and if it's good enough for Einstein, and if it's good enough for Logan Paul, apparently, I think it's good enough for you. So, because they say that the riches are in the niches. You have to niche down and understand what you're good at. Not what you're good at, but what you can be great at. Malcolm Gladwell says it takes 10,000 hours to be great at something. And this is where I believe Logan Paul is going to focus these days. The niches are in the riches because you can't do it all. Eliminate 6 through 25, focus, the law of focus on 1 through 5. So double down on what you're great at. Now, we all know that Jake Paul sort of did the boxing thing. Both of them did that. Jake Paul sort of says, I'm doubling down on boxing. Logan Paul's done wrestling. He's done boxing. He's doing podcasting. He's a businessman. He's got his prime drink. But now he's dropping it all to focus on wrestling. So Logan picked his path. Again, the law of focus. If it's good enough for Einstein, if it's good enough for Buffett, if it's good enough for Logan Paul even, it should be good enough to you. Enough of the shiny object syndrome, enough of being a jack of all trades and being sort of aloof and not hyper-focused, focus and niche down on what you can potentially be great at. So he's obviously doing the podcasting thing. He was doing boxing. Now he's going to focus on wrestling. But at the end of the day, he's a businessman. So we discussed what he did with Prime. By the way, he launched it in January of 2022. So it's coming on almost their 2-year anniversary, right? They actually released this information. I don't know if you have this. You can pull up. It's broken. It's record-breaking international sales of the energy drink. It's being consumed. 31 bottles consumed every single second. Right? You have that clip? There it is. 31 bottles of Prime are drank every single second. I don't know what that exactly is. You can do 31 times 60. That's 60 a minute. You can do that by the hour. But here's what I do know. Prime has officially sold 1 billion drinks. 1 billion. Not 1 million. 1 billion, which is equal to $250,000 in retail sales. Why the F would I be focusing on boxing when I can wrestle my way to the top and become a billionaire with this Prime drink? I don't know. Hyper, hyper, hyper focused. So what are you focusing on, right? What is your hyper focus? What are you doing to basically improve your lot in life by getting focused? So mark my words. Hear me out. Quote me on this. You can run it back if it doesn't happen. I'm not friends with Logan Paul. I'm actually way better friends with Andrew Tate. So, but I do respect what Logan Paul, I bring that up because they had beef and I have actually asked the Tate brothers who would win in a fight. They said emphatically, if two of us walked into a room versus the other two, the Tate brothers would walk out. And I had their back. But I do respect what the Paul brothers are doing, specifically Logan. Right, so he's a man of many talents, but now he's clearly getting hyper-focused on only a few things, which again is the law of focus. So mark my words, quote-unquote Saws. Logan Paul will be the greatest wrestling icon of his generation, I think without a doubt. If he focuses on that, without a doubt, he will be the Hulk Hogan of his day, or the Macho Man Randy Savage of his day, or the Rock of his day, or the Stone Cold Steve Austin of his day, or who else is out? The Goldberg? Who's the biggest wrestler right now?
I mean, for a while, it was John Cena.
It was John Cena. You know what he's doing in the movies these days. You see what The Rock is doing. Who's the biggest wrestler these days?
Last time I checked WWE, I think it's like Roman Reigns. That guy
might have been Roman Reigns. I don't know. It might have been Rey Mysterio. Mark my words. Cut this clip up. Logan Paul is going to be the greatest wrestler of his generation. And just to top this off, and this is probably even more important, if he stays focused on this, if he uses the laws of focus, the riches are in the niches, Logan Paul is going to be a billionaire. Straight up. And I say this with PBD all the time. Who is the most likely but yet most unlikely person who could one day become president of the United States? You got to put Logan Paul at the top of that list. Not now. Not in the next 5, 10, or even 20 years. But if he plays his cards right and he becomes the greatest wrestler of all time and becomes a billionaire in the next few decades, it might be 2045, but you might be voting for Logan Paul for president. This clip might have to get dust off 20 years from now, but if you're worth that much money and you have that much eyeballs, if we've learned anything from Donald Trump, you can become president. You see, these days, The Rock's name is being thrown out for president because they're like, holy shit, this Biden thing probably won't work out. Who can we get? Oprah? Billionaire? I don't know. We'll see. Michelle Obama, they've made a ridiculous amount of money since they've left office. Like an absurd amount of money. Probably someone needs to look into that. I don't know how what that is. Somebody. What that is. What's that?
And they drowned the chef too.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Donald Trump, billionaire. So could it be that Logan Paul, 20 years down the line, is the next billionaire, social media icon, wrestling icon that becomes president? I don't know. But I would not bet against Logan Paul. So that's my professional opinion. So Where am I going with this? So some people look at Logan Paul and be like, he's just lucky, dude. He's just lucky. You know what? He started doing Vine videos and he just got lucky, man. Really? I believe that you create your own luck in life. So there's actually an article here. You have this article about luck. So they said that some people are lucky, but you can make yourself one of them, right? So the question is, are you born lucky or not? Are you born good or not? So I would venture to guess that you have the power to shape your own luck. I like that four-leaf clover on there. So it comes down to a few things, right? Mindset, optimism, openness to possibilities, and then taking serious action, right? Every day I do an affirmation when I wake up. I say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to accomplish. But words are hollow unless you actually put those words into action. So action accelerates your luck. You know, they say that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Oh, he just got lucky. How about I prepared an opportunity presented itself and that's how I got lucky? Pretty interesting dynamic right there. So what did Logan have to do? And what does this have to do with your luck? Well, you have to embrace setbacks. You have to overcome obstacles. We all remember what happened when that Japanese garden basically almost got canceled and he allegedly had to sell his soul to Hollywood. Who cares? But you have to create your own luck and you have to basically bounce back. You know, they say get knocked down 10 times, get up 11. It's exactly what's going on. You have to learn and you have to grow from your mistakes. You have to turn your mistakes into opportunities. I've had situations on this show right here where I failed. I did not do well. But I learned from it. I went back to the drawing board and I said, let me get back to basics, baby. Let's do the damn thing. And I grew from those opportunities and I might get knocked down again, but I came back. Oh, people are hating in the comment section. All good, bro. Let me improve. Let me bounce back. You need to do the same exact shit that I'm talking about. That's how you create your own luck in this world. So luck, what are some other things that you could do to create your own luck? Well, number one, get the hell out of your house. Get out there. We see this epidemic basically incels and people basically not having the wherewithal, the social acumen to just go out and talk to people. Dr. Scott Galloway says that the most dangerous people in the world are the sad, lonely, broke men sitting at home on their phones. Don't let it be you, homie. Get your ass out there. Introduce yourself. Ask questions. Don't just start talking about yourself. Actually implement how to win friends and influence people. Shout out to Dale Carnegie. Ask questions. Take an interest in people. And then when people ask you a question, tell them what you do. Be known for something. Be known for something. You know, what's the famous line from Drake in the song Lemon Pepper Freestyle? He's like, these days fame is disconnected from excellence. Half the time I got to ask the people what their profession is. You have no idea how many people I meet that are like, yeah, I'm an Uber driver, but I also do Bitcoin, but I'm also a club promoter. And I got this going on. By the way, I got my real estate license. So here's my card. Bro, pick one. Be known for something. Right? These days, fame is disconnected from excellence. Half the time, I got to ask the people what their profession is. If someone doesn't know specifically what you do and they're like, I don't even know, he does something, you haven't done enough, bro. Be known for something. Pick a path, double down it, be great at it. Put in $10,000, put in 10,000 hours, and then call me. So, you know, I say this all the time. We all know that your network is your net worth. We get that. But who are you surrounding yourselves with? How much are you working? Work, earn, save, invest. Pretty basic stuff. But be known for something and take dramatic action and get out there. So is Logan Paul lucky? Who knows, right? Is Donald Trump lucky? Who knows? Is Obama lucky? Who knows? Is The Rock lucky? Who knows? All these people created their own luck. by taking drastic action into their lives and doubling down on their greatest skill set. No doubt. You know, they say that talent alone does not guarantee success. The famous philosopher, his name is Kevin Durant. You heard of him, Malik? Durant. He says, hard works beat talent when talent fails to work hard. So I said at the beginning of this, what's better, to work smart or work hard? I say do both. Talent, hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. So luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So I emphatically believe that you can create your own luck in this world. You can create your own path in this world if you actually double down on what you're good at and focus on these things like mindset, optimism, openness to possibilities, and taking immediate action, taking drastic action to change your life. It's just that simple. So are some people born lucky? I don't know. Do some people create their own luck? 1,000,000%. So am I lucky doing this show? Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. But they don't just hand shows out on Valuetainment like it's, hotcakes. I had to put in 15 years of work in the financial industry. I had to save that money because my first year here, I made zero money. Pat's like, yeah, we'll give you a show. We're not giving you any money. Cool. Let me prove my worth. But I had enough money that I could just basically work for free just to be around PBD. Now we're going on 4 years strong, making money. Things are good. We're on Manek. We're consulting. We got business revenue. Things are great. But good things take time. And that's pretty much what we talk about every single episode. You might not be where you want to be in your life right now. Give it 5 years. Give it 10 years. Get good. Get focused. Get hyper-focused. Law of focus. Get good at something. Be known for something. Accomplish something. Competence leads to confidence. Be that dude, okay? Look your best. Act your best. Feel your best. Do your best. Bro, the world is your oyster. So I firmly believe that, and I firmly believe that you can do that. Again, broke party boy at 25, made drastic changes in my life, millionaire at 35. By the time that I'm 45, I'll be worth tens of millions of dollars, so I hope, because that's what I'm working on. But most importantly, I'm changing lives. And we're doing that here at Valuetainment. We're doing that here on the Sawscast. We're doing that here at PBD. And we're also doing it on Manect, where you can connect with us right there. Let's make sure we have a link in the bio for that. So that's all I got for you guys today. Right, it is, Manect. So this was a quick episode. How long did this take us today? About an hour 15. This is a quick one, okay? But I think it's super important. Here's some recaps right here if you're catching the last part of this episode. Here's what we discussed today. Can we do a recap real quick? So Miss Universe, gone broke. Spent too much money on hot chicks. Not the best thing to do. Find yourself a girl that's great, values, principles, good person, good family woman, who's not going to basically take you for all your money like Carmen Electra did to our friend Dennis Rodman. Not the good, best look for him. We talked about why America loves debt and our fascination with debt, our fascination with spending, consumerism, materialism, the amount of debt that's crazy. To my friends in Gen Z out there, to my young compadres, Malik and younger, learn from what the older cohorts have done. Gen Z average debt $25,000, millennials $116,000, Gen X $155,000, and so on and so forth. So if you're a Gen Z and you're considering taking out more student loan debt, you might want to rethink that. If you're a Gen Z and you're thinking about taking on mortgage debt at today's interest rates, you're definitely going to want to rethink that. If you're a Gen Z and you're thinking about buying a car and spending $750 a month, you might want to rethink that. Look at what other people are doing that are older than you and learn from their mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from people around you mistakes. Because you can change this, Gen Z. So that's what's going on in the debt world. The number one thing that's making you life and making you broke, your car, driving into the poorhouse. Man, shout out to my people out there in a Mitsubishi Mirage parked in their garage. Love you guys. It's rough out there for you, homies. Logan Paul, shout out to you, making all that money. But doubling down on your skill set, I believe he's going to be a billionaire. But then, but last but not least, creating your own luck. That's what we got for today. Malik, before we wrap up, what you got, what you're working on, anything you want to announce, what's the polls saying, what's the chat saying? Let's talk.
Yeah, I really appreciate the participation in the polls. This is something we've been trying to do every episode, and participation is, it increases every time, so that's good. my biggest takeaway was definitely the part about luck. Like, I think it also comes from, like, who you are as a person, like, your character and attitude and how you handle stress in life. Because, like, if you're one of those negative people who tend to let one bad, unfortunate thing happen, you think, oh, I got bad luck, I'm terrible, I'm doomed. It's like, you never get yourself out of that hole. Like, luck and, like, attitude is kind of like depth in a way. Like, if you keep digging that hole for yourself, it's harder to get out. So you got to just keep doing what you got to do and, like, keep chipping away and thinking positively, like, even on the smallest things that may inconvenience you to get forward in life.
Respect. What do the polls say?
As far as the polls, this latest one I ran, do you create your own luck or are you born with it? 75% say you create your own luck, and I agree.
Smart people.
And, yeah, you can find me on Instagram at It's Me Malik.
Quick shout out to myself. Any other polls?
Great show. And, yeah, that's the latest poll I ran.
What about the age?
Age, our demographic for age is in between, we have 25 through 34. That's about 37% of our viewers.
All right. Yeah. So shout out to the millennials out there. Shout out to Gen Z. Shout out to Gen Xers that are tuning into the Sozcast. Do a poll. Do you want to see me do more of these money episodes, Soz Talks Money, where me and the camera are just getting your money right? Do you want to see more of that? Or do you want to see just me on the panel of chicks and the influencer dudes having those conversations? We're planning on doing both, but I want to know from our audience, what do you want to see more of? How can we help you? How can we give you value, but also entertainment? I don't know if you might have heard, we're called Valuetainment, and we want to do both. So I really want to know from the audience what you guys want to see. We don't necessarily need to do it on the live stream, do we? Can we maybe do it off camera? And that way we can keep this thing going because the stream's going to stop in a second. But I'm super, super interested in what you guys want more of out there. Super, super interested. We're doing this for you. We want to see you improve. We want to see you outwork. We want to see you out-strategize. We want to see you outlast your competitors because that's the most important thing. Guys, thank you for staying tuned to this episode of the Sozcast where Soz talks money. All we talk is money. All we talk is money. Hope you appreciate this. Hope you get your money right. We'll be back on Thursday with a panel show. We'll be talking money with a bunch of ladies. It won't be so much so the dating and sex stuff. We're actually going to talk some money with the ladies, see what they know about what's going out there. Until next time, we out. Save that money. It's the Sozcast, baby.